the greatest thing that you can do as a dad is just be there. Mm. There's a lot of times where people think words will change something. You try to encourage with gifts, but the main thing is just being there.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
Hey everybody, it's Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast and online. I'm very happy to have Matt Forte. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, Matt. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, man. I'm blessed and I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, man. Looking forward to talking a little bit about football and fatherhood, but I got to say, man, this is kind of like an inception moment. You're on a podcast, but yet you and your wife have a very great and new podcast called True Versus Truth that features, like I said, you and your wife. Talk about what the podcast is all about, what inspired you to set this up, and what can fans of yours expect from the series?
Yeah, so we got the name, True Versus Truth, based off of today and how life is and culture is in America, especially. I think that there's a lot of people that aren't necessarily living by biblical truth, but they're living by their own truth, which means that the definition of relativism, where people will do whatever suits them and suits their lifestyle, and that's what that becomes true to them. And so in the eyes of that, we like to take the biblical lens and put that on there and see what God says about it, see what your creator says about what the true way of treating things or behaving or how you treat people, like all of these other topics, and look at it through the biblical lens and then go from there. So, you know, our podcast is very open-minded and we like to have and see different views from different guests on. We've had hip-hop rappers, Christian rappers, you know, pastors, many different people, athletes on there. So we like to talk to a wide variety of people, but also people who will represent Christ and also well-versed in that language as well. So that's where the name comes from, and it's been a blast being able to do that, especially with my wife, and to kind of be able to talk about topics as well that will dispel some of the things that the media, you know, will not shed a light on, yeah, or that they'll highlight, which are bad. You know, people always talk about they don't want to be married and all this other stuff. And so, especially with my wife being on there, we get to talk about relationships, dating, what God says about that, and everything else.
Nice. We'll definitely put up links here where people can check that out. And, you know, one of the things I just love what you said, I mean, the podcast, the concept, the fact that you and your wife get to do this and see a lot of different views, I think right there, having people with different voices and different points of view on your show is great, because I don't know about you, Matt, but I feel like the art of conversation and the idea of debating in a healthy and positive way is gone. So having that structure in your podcast, I think, is phenomenal. Because don't you feel like now in society, it's always like you're with me, or if you're not totally with me, that means you're against me and I hate you, I'm going to block you, I'm going to curse you out, right?
Yeah, that's true, man. The art of deep conversation and understanding and seeing all sides of an issue is gone. And I like to bring that into our podcast, because to better understand someone else or to understand a different subject, you have to see all sides of it, of the story. So you can't, and today we like to put things in boxes. We like to pick sides and choose sides. And that's why this happens a lot. But if we can, you know, you can better understand somebody if you can listen to someone's opinion. You may not agree with it, but you see where they're coming from. And so it is a fact that perception is reality to people. So it does help. But a lot of times we just need to calm down and look at what somebody else is saying. And then ultimately ask God, you know, to help you to discern what is true.
Nice, man. Totally agree. And talk about God and working on this podcast with your wife. One of the things for me, when my wife and I were going to get married, we went to the whole pre-Cana aspect of things. You know, right before you got married, you kind of go through the church and different ways, you know, different churches have different ways of preparing a couple for marriage. And I remember for me, my wife and I thought like, oh yeah, we're on page with everything, right? And so when we go through these different courses, we're like, wait a minute, you wouldn't give our kids an allowance if we had kids? Why? And then so you have like these great discussions with your spouse. Let me ask you this. While you guys are prepping up for the podcast, while you're doing the podcast, do you kind of like, once you're done recording, do you kind of like, hey, Daniel, I got to talk to you a little bit about this. What's your take on this? Like, how, do you kind of see things from a different perspective because you're exploring different topics?
Yeah, definitely. There's been times where we're talking about, you know, certain things, and I didn't realize she had that view on something. So I kind of afterwards, I'm like, I didn't realize you thought that way about this topic. So It is you, and actually, it's a beauty in it and all as well, because you get to, I thought I knew my wife totally, but you get to understand them on a different level. You get to understand them different, even better. I've been married 8 years, and I'm still learning a lot more about her, and she's learning a lot about me, and those things. And that's just the nuances of a relationship as well. Everybody talks about marriage, and they're fearful of it being stale and all this other stuff. But man, if you continue to learn it and learn each other, and you know, we still go on date nights and all that stuff. Nice. We still date each other, and you still act like when we first met, then the love, the flame never goes dim. You keep lighting that flame, keep putting the log on the flame so it stays a fire.
No doubt, man. So true. Another thing too that I think is great, and it's something that you and your wife get to pass down to your kids and showing how you guys are giving back, because people who know you, of course, from the NFL, but see everything that you're doing off the field, like What's Your Forte Foundation, man. I mean, not only you're helping out people in different parts of the different communities around the world, but like, your kids get to see a firsthand glimpse of what you and your wife and other people are doing around to better those around you. Talk a little bit about the foundation and the inspiration to set that up.
Yeah, the single greatest thing you can do with your life, I feel like, is give your life to something, to a cause. Hmm. And for me, that cause is to just help anybody that's in a situation that doesn't have it. They don't have they're not fortunate like I was growing up, or fortunate enough to be a professional athlete or something like that. So I want to use my platform to benefit anybody who needs the help, because what's the point in having the resources and someone needs the help and not giving it to them? That doesn't make sense. You know, that's what the resources are for, to help somebody with them, not just to hold on to them, you know, for yourself and be selfish. And so I just want to impact people's lives, because I know that everything fades. You know, you may be handsome, you may look good right now, but that beauty is going to fade. You know, you may be big and strong, but, you know, eventually you get old and, you know, your bones get weak. So, like, everything fades except, you know, there's two things that last forever, and that's the word of God and the soul of man. And so knowing that, I don't want to put my attention on all this frivolous stuff that is going to eventually diminish and fall away. I'd love to, you know, to impact people as a person, as their character, or as a, I like to say, you impact them, you know, by their soul, and that they always remember how you made them feel. You know, a lot of people may, you know, 100 years from now, they may recognize my name or something, but it won't be for football. It'll be for how I made, you know, people change and how I made them feel personally. And so that's the thing that impacts me to want to be giving and be a servant of people, because that's what Jesus did, man. He was the ultimate servant. Mm. And it was just amazing, you know, how he lived his life like that. And there's been times, even in the Bible, I mean, he knew that Judas was going to betray him, yet he still washed his feet. Yeah. So, like, that's ultimately being humble and serving.
No doubt, man. I appreciate your thoughts on that. And one more question about your foundation. You know, you and your wife have a great way of passing down a legacy with the What's Your Forte Foundation. Do you hope someday you and your wife will, you know, say to your kids, all right, you're at the age where we think it's appropriate you guys to run this or help us run it. Do you hope that they carry on the foundation?
Yeah, of course. That's one of the main things I want to instill in my children's character, is the generosity piece and the fact that they have a different lifestyle than even I had growing up. You know, they have a lot more things, and that's because dad played professional football. But that doesn't mean you're better than somebody. That doesn't mean you don't associate with a certain type of people. You have to, you know, be able to connect across humanity through everybody. And that is through giving. So our foundation, I would love for my kids to continue to watch us in that, and that learn from us and how we give back and help people out. You know, What's Your Forte Foundation was designed to impact at-risk youth, but also people in low-income neighborhoods that don't have opportunities. Basically, I feel like the more educated you are, the better decisions that you can make for yourself. And so that's what we're geared towards doing. And we provide scholarships and help people to, you know, get jobs and, you know, any need that's really there, but, you know, mainly to help them continue their education. Definitely will hope that and pray that the children will take over that one when they get old enough.
Nice, man. And you kind of bleeding into my next question about the morals and values. Of course, you know, people listening to this conversation, you're definitely focused through God and the way you look at life and the way you want to help others around you. Talk about, besides, you know, caring and compassion and supporting others, talk about some of the other core values you and your wife look to instill into your kids as they're growing up.
Yeah, just being respectful of all people and, you know, not being biased on, you know, certain things. Just like we said, the art of, you know, open conversation has kind of diminished. So,
yeah,
you know, being respectful of people, but also having that identity. You know, if your identity isn't rooted in something that's positive, then most of the time you're going to do something negative. So I want the identity, obviously, to be rooted in Christ, because, you know, he's the one who created us. So if you have an identity issue, a lot of times you try to force different things and you try all these other things to try to fill that hole, and that never fills that void. And that's my goal, is to have them, you know, in check where they respect people. For one, they have their identity, they know their identity, but also that they're humble. Then they don't try to treat people a certain way just based off of their race, color, background, whatever it may be.
Well said, sir. Talk about when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind, Matt?
Man, I was nervous, man. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to happen, but it still doesn't hit you until the baby's actually going to be here. So, you know, it was actually funny because my wife, you know, she would just be like, you know, I was ultimately confident, but... And it was, you know, in the off season at this point. So we timed it out well where I didn't have to miss any games or anything. But, you know, until the baby is actually there, you can be as confident as you want. But, you know, it's learning on the run too. And that's why there's such a difference between the first one and the second one, because the first one you handle with like these, you know, you put the white gloves on and you're handling it really, really nicely. But the second one, you're just like, yeah, he'll be all right. Especially if it's a boy, you're like, he'll be all right. Ain't nothing wrong with him. He'd get up and wipe that off. Put some dirt on it, you know.
Yes, nice. So true, man. That is, yeah, it's funny. Like, you see those commercials, like, first child, it's like you said, put the white gloves on. Second child, it's like, oh, you got something, you got a nail, you're running with a nail? Yeah, sure, go ahead. We'll get you a tetanus shot, whatever. One of the things, too, before we started recording, we were talking about how the different dads that I run with in this dad writing world. I don't know if you and the other guys from the NFL were, your ears were ringing, but when you were teaming up with Pampers, man, some of the things like the dads that I were talking about is having those diapers changing stations in a men's bathroom or somewhere where dads can change diapers just as well as moms. And
there
was a time I was in New York City with my family. My youngest was still in diapers and we were like at TGI Fridays. And like, I was pretty much juggling my daughter in the men's bathroom to change her diaper because there was nothing there. But you guys teamed up with Pampers, a bunch of the guys that you probably know played with or are still in the game right now, worked together to help with Pampers and get those, you know, changing stations in different public places, man. So I applaud you, and I know a bunch of other dads applaud you for doing that. Talk a little bit about that work, sir.
Yeah, that was huge, man. I was so glad that Pampers was even doing that, for one, and then that they reached out to me, because, I mean, I've had experiences, man, like being at the park and there's nothing around but a porta potty, and I'm like, man, I'm not going in there with my child. And so I end up changing them on a park bench on my lap. Or, you know, I'm on an airplane and my wife's on the inside of the seat, on the window seat, and I'm like, well, I'll take her. So I go into the bathroom and, you know, those lavatories, as they call them, are not very lavish. They're not very big. And I'm sitting here trying to change a little kids on my quads. My quads are burning. You know, I'm glad I played running back in football so I can have some strong legs to be able to change a diaper on my thighs. You know, it was just a huge benefit just to be able to be part of that process and that campaign, because, you know, this is 2019, man. Like, dads change diapers. You know, I always mess with my dad because I was like, because when we had our kids, you know, his grandkids, I was messing with him like, man, change the diaper, man. You ain't changed none of my diapers. Because I feel like my mom always did it.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, nah, I changed one. I'm like, yeah, you changed one.
One.
And then I tell a joke, too. I'm like, hey, eventually, sooner or later, you're going to have to change the diaper, whether it be your grandkids or your own. because I'm not changing your diaper when you get old. I'm not changing his depends.
Oh, well played, sir. And it's funny, on the Art of Fatherhood podcast here, a couple episodes before, we had the actor AJ Buckley. He's on the CBS SEAL Team show. And him and one of his buddies created this diaper bag. It's over at papercliplife.com. And they have a changing table inside the diaper bag because he ran into the same thing that you and I ran into. And it's just like dads are getting mad. It's like, hey, we need some help out here. We need some stylish diaper bags and we need places to change our kids. So again, I applaud you with what you're doing. A couple more questions before I get into the fatherhood quick five. You know, besides your foundation and, you know, this podcast, The True Versus Truth, you know, you're definitely having words of wisdom. But for new dads, listen to this. What is one big piece of advice you'd offer to them?
One big piece of advice I definitely would offer to not only new dads, but dads in general, is that the greatest thing that you can do as a dad is just be there. And that comes from the fact that there's a lot of times where people think words will change something, or you know, you try to encourage with all these different things, gifts or all these, you know, different ways. But the main thing is just being there. When I look back at my childhood, I'm so grateful that my mom and dad were just there. And I tell them that because, you know, when you're young, you don't appreciate it. You just think, yeah, they're supposed to be there and this and that. And I mean, my mom and dad, they, you know, every practice, every game, every, you know, sport. I mean, I played many different sports growing up and was on all-star teams, and they traveled with me to these different tournaments and all this stuff. Like, the time that they sacrificed to put in for me to excel at sports. And it wasn't guaranteed that I was just going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, it just was, you know, God ended up making it that way. And, but they were there, you know what I mean? So that would just be the main thing. Is sometimes, even when your child goes through something tough where you don't know what to say, it just benefits you just to be there for them at all times.
100% agree, Matt. Two questions about your time in the league and also just football in general. From Tulane to, you know, playing in Chicago, the transition from college level to pro level. Talk about, like, one of the biggest transitions you had.
Yeah, I think it was getting used to how big and fast everybody was, because I came from Tulane and I didn't play in the SEC or things like that, but I did play against them, those teams. I played against LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn, like teams like that. And I always did well against them. But when you get to the NFL, like, nobody can hide, you know, in college.
Yeah.
And in college, you can get away with somebody just being a smart player, but he's not that good.
Yeah.
But in the NFL, that doesn't happen. Everybody's good. Like, lives are on the line. Like, people are feeding their family. So it just, the stakes are higher. So I had to get used to how, you know, big and strong everybody was, and that, you know, I used to be always the biggest and the fastest guy on the team. And then, you know, you get to the NFL, it's like, man, I got a lot of work to put in because these dudes are big. You may get overpowered. You have to learn how to, it's almost like you got to be crafty, you know, because you may not be able to beat somebody physically, but mentally you could actually beat somebody just by being smarter at something or just perfecting your craft is what they call it. You know, a lot of the guys, once they play, you may have one good year or two good years, but when you get, you know, down the line and then injuries add up, you got to perfect your craft and change your game up. Because it's just like, say you were a boxer and your best punch was your left hook, but then, you know, you broke your arm and your left hook wasn't as strong anymore. Then you got to find something else that's going to work. You got to have to find a jab or an uppercut or something like that. So you got to perfect everything else to compensate for it. So that's kind of like what I had to do and to change the game up, which made it way different from college to pros.
I appreciate the insight, and I think a lot of sometimes NFL fans take it for granted that how long you played and the type of career you had and the, you know, at the level that you played with every year kind of go sometimes unknown. It's like, oh yeah, Matt will do that. Like, I remember there was one guy, and again, I don't know how much you're into, like, fantasy, but one guy would always, like, we'd always fight to see who got you because everyone's like, he's reliable, but, like, we don't, like, think about, like, all the stuff that you are putting in until, you know, you just said that right now. And was there a game or season that stands out to you from the rest of your career? I mean, again, you had a great career, but is there one game or season that you always, like, think about?
Yeah, there's a few of them. I mean, my very first game, I burst onto the scene, 123-yard game. Nice. I kind of set a record for the Bears and all that stuff. So that was a huge game for me. I kind of just encompassed the whole NFL in one game, you know. Primetime TV, came from a small school, so I'm on Sunday Night Football against Peyton Manning, who's from Louisiana, where I'm from, but he also beat the Bears in the Super Bowl in 06. So this is like some kind of redemption game. And I'm just a rookie out there, you know, a part of the team. And then I come out and have an amazing game and step onto the scene that way. So I burst onto the scene that way. But then also, I guess, it would be my lone 200-yard game versus the Carolina Panthers. Mm. I think that was 2011, I believe. Nice. And that was the year my first time making the Pro Bowl, so that was a huge season for me. It taught me the ups and downs of the NFL because I was leading the league in rushing. And end of the season, I actually had a knee injury. And that was when the Bears didn't want to pay me a new contract. And I still, you know, bit the bullet. And I'm like, I'm gonna play under this contract, even though I've been underpaid by, you know, the punter was making more than me at this point, but yeah. I'm leading the league in rushing. and then I had a sprained knee, but I got to play in the Pro Bowl, so it was a good deal.
Nice, man. Yeah, I think running back for me as an NFL football fan, whatever the case may be, favorite position, starting from like Walter Payton, of course, with the Bears lore, Bo Jackson, all the way through, man. Running back position, and just thank you very much for sharing that. Now we got the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie in the Forte household is what?
Well, since we're coming upon Christmas, man, it's got to be Home Alone 1 and 2.
Nice. Well done, sir. Favorite song, or is there a band that you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to at a certain age?
I don't know. That's hard because my music is totally different now because I listen to a lot of Christian hip-hop and gospel. But, you know, I definitely would introduce them to some of those guys, Andy Mineo, Lecrae, KB, Bizzle, these type of dudes, you know. They got some great music, and it's all positive, too.
Nice.
D1, yeah.
Very cool. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
Man, perfect family vacation, I think, would be going to one of two places, like going to Dubai with the family, given that the kids could make the flight all the way over there. Going to Dubai, and then on the way back, stopping in Africa.
Nice.
And just letting them experience the homeland.
Nice. Very cool. Biggest thing you miss about the NFL is?
Just the locker room. Everybody's, you know, the locker room is the best thing. And, you know, everybody's in brotherhood, and you miss the times and the fun times that you have in the locker room.
Nice. And the top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a father is what?
Let's see. Gracious. Man, I need to get my dictionary out. A blessing. And then wonderful.
Nice.
Wonderful dad.
Great three words right there, sir. People, make sure you follow Matt on Twitter at MattForte22. Check out the new podcast, True Versus Truth, and also go to his foundation's website and how you can help out at What's Your Forte Foundation. Matt, again, such an honor to chat with you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, and continued success in the future, sir.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.